Right, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be together like this after the school holidays. Daniel, if this bit sits, I'll take the other one. My name is Kevin. If you're new to the congregation, I've got the wonderful privilege of leading the congregation here at Divinal AM. And as you heard, going into a fast. One excited person. So we into a fast as a congregation, and this morning I want to share and look. That's not working. Not. All right, let's give it another go. Is that better? Still not working. Is it? Let me say a few things. How does that sound? Still better. Better. Can we work with this? Okay, it seems like we're happy. Are we happy? No, it doesn't. One shot. Do you have... Okay. There we go. That's better. That sounds much better. Okay, yes. Let's do this. Thanks, Daniel. So we're going into a three-day fast, and I want to look at what the Bible says about a fast. Why are we fasting as a congregation? Why are we doing it together? And I trust that apart from just looking at fasting throughout scriptures, I trust that you'll meet with God this morning through the preaching. So that's my prayer for each one of us, to go away having faith, having felt that you've encountered the Lord through the sermon, even though we're going to speak about fasting. So I know for some of you, you've been serving the Lord for many years, so you've fasted probably more times than what I'm my age. You know, you fasted 50 times. and so it's been a common thing in your life, and some of you have never done it before. Some of you have been in church and you've heard about it, but you've never done it. So I'm going to try and aim this morning just to take out all the extremeness of it away, that we can see it's something in Bible. Although it's not something we commanded to do, it's something that's super beneficial for us and quite a necessity. So I want us to look at that and hopefully leave with a lot of faith to do it and also know why we're doing it as a church. So I'm going to speak about feasting while fasting. Feasting while fasting. So they did a few stats. Obviously, this is not just America. Funny enough, this is global and America. I'm not sure why they had to put and America. But this is global stats and America's. The average person eats around 660 kilograms of food per year. That's more than a half a ton of food that you consume in a year. Studies suggest we think about food more than 200 times a day. That's once every 7 waking minutes. That sounds... I think if you've got kids, they think about food like 400 times a day. You know, it's like you feed them and then they're still hungry a minute later. Food waste in America is worth over $400 billion annually. Just trying to sort that out. So it's not just that we feast a lot or eat a lot, but we also, there's so much that we waste a lot. Social media posts about food generate billions of views. On Instagram, there are 500 million posts with the hashtag of food. Our culture is so saturated in culinary obsession. Isn't that true? You know, we're obsessed with food. I can think that we think about food so many times. And the interesting thing about these stats is that it shows that we do have quite an appetite, that we enjoy giving attention to our physical hunger. The question is, how much attention do we give to our spiritual hunger? And so what fasting does is it takes our focus away from something that really is an obsession for us, and it puts our attention back on the importance of feeding our spirit. Because that's probably more important than filling our bodies. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." That's a powerful scripture. And yeah, Jesus is saying that you need food for sustenance, you need food to live. But I want to tell you this, more than you need physical food, I am the one that will truly satisfy your hunger and thirst. No one else. I am the bread of life. Jesus at one point said, "My food is to do the will of the Father." And there's something very important for the believer to feed our spirits and not just our physical bodies. Interesting thing is we think about food 200 times a day, but when it comes to our spiritual hunger, we some days don't even think about it. And what a fast does, it awakens our senses again to realize, I need to feed my spirit every day. Because I get consumed with my busy life and everything I need to do that I forget to feed my spirit. And so what I'm trusting as we fast, and as you maybe fast as a lifestyle, that we would once again come to realization of the importance of feasting on Him, the bread of life. We see in the book of Acts, and this is one of the key scriptures we're going to look at, that the early church, as a people, they fasted. It wasn't just individuals that fasted, but as a church. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they have fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God. So the early church came together and they sought the Lord. They prayed and they fasted. And the Lord did something through them. You see throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, in the time where Jesus was on earth, when there was a sense of a fasting, God did something in the people. And I'm trusting as we're going to set out 3 days in a week's time, that God would do something significant in us. As we see here, the early church fasted and God moved through them. I'm trusting that God would move powerfully through us. So what is a fast? A fast is as simple as abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. This, throughout Scripture, you'd see fasting and prayer go hand in hand. And I thought, Alf, you did a fantastic job. Not just to give content, but you gave something of the very heart of the Lord on this topic. It was saturated in anointing. And so as he shared that this would be a house of prayer, I pray that we would take that up and start defining that this, when we come together, my life needs to be filled with prayer. Maybe take that challenge. Take it to heart. But prayer and fasting always accompany together. You see, fasting is not just starving yourself. There's a difference between a diet and a fast, all right? Intermittent fasting as a way of life and a diet is not true biblical fasting. That's simply starving yourself so that you feel more pleasurable when you look at yourself in the mirror. But fasting, biblical fasting, is abstaining from food for spiritual purposes, and it accompanies prayer. If you look at Scripture, predominantly, primarily, fasting was always from food. There was this one instance where David fasted certain Daniel. He fasted certain types of foods and lotions. So there was an aspect where he fasted from a physical benefit, but it was accompanied also with a fasting from food. Some people say there's an example in Corinthians where Paul speaks about fasting from sex in a marriage. But he wasn't speaking about fasting from sex. He was saying that a married couple should have a healthy sex life. And they shouldn't keep themselves from one another. Only when you are fasting, you can do so. So that's the only condition. So it wasn't speaking about a sex fast in marriage. It was abstaining, and there was abstaining, and one can take that and say, there is a measure where one can probably coin it as a fast, but that was never called a fast in Scripture. It was for the purposes of abstaining from food that can help you, because sometimes you lack energy while fasting. Just so it could help. So it's abstaining from food. And I know there's some radical things currently in the church where we fast from social media and we fast from, we fast from chips and we fast from movies and we fast from music and we do these radical things. But that is simply just applying godly wisdom in your life, because sometimes you got to stay away from things like that in order to keep your focus on God. All those very things pollute your life, so you want to abstain from them. And so we call that a fast, because actually we're abstaining from it, but it's actually just applying wisdom or resisting the enemy. Fasting biblically, predominantly, is when we abstain from foods or types of foods. And sometimes with that, we can stay away from social media, because sometimes it's good while we fast to also abstain from social media, like Daniel abstained from lotions. You know? Sometimes social media to us is like a comfort blanket. It soothes us to look at other people's posts. And so that's awful. But it's important that we take note of this, because what we sometimes do is we over-spiritualize wisdom. Or just following the Lord, or just resisting the enemy. We sometimes over-spiritualize it. But there has to be an aspect of food. If I look at it biblically, and I try to look at all the examples in Scriptures, if you've got examples, please share with me. But our reason why I want to put this is that we realize when we say we're going to fast, there has to be an aspect of food. Even for the teenagers, there's got to be an element of food. We were part of a church in Wellington, the congregation that joined with Josh Shannon, and one of the leadership couples there, he actually played for the Springboks in Western Province, Fritz van Heerden. He had a son about the age of 11, and we went for an 8-day fast at our church. Corporate fast, 8 days, and they started preparing the kids on their way home in the vehicle that we're going to fast. And the kids didn't really know what it is, so they explained to the children what we're going to do. And the youngest son, the 11-year-old, said, "Oh, he gets it. He gets it." And he said, "Mom, I will fast broccoli for the 8 days." Clever boy. He got it. It was something about food. He just chose wisely. So let's look at Scripture. Just quickly, we will send this. I know it might be small, but just want to give you an idea that fasting was something that the nation of Israel did. It's something that Jesus did. It's something that his disciples did, the early church did. So it's a practice throughout Scripture. It was never a commanded thing, but it was clear that God moved while people humbled themselves, while they gave themselves, while they sought the Lord. God moved on their behalf. And it's something that we see was a practice in the early church. So it's something that's super beneficial. It's something that I've come to realize is a necessity. To be honest, if I look back over the last while, there was a big portion of my life where fasting wasn't important. It's not something that I considered as a big necessity in my life. And then Lizaldi started listening to some teachings, and we started to speak about pride. You remember at the beginning of the year, I felt the Lord said that one of the areas that we'll be tested in is the area of pride. And one of the things, the enemies, one of the giants God wants us to slay is a giant of pride. And one of the ways that we actually deal with pride, one of the ways we humble ourselves is through fasting. And then I realized, oh, there's something there. And we started to incorporate that into our lives over the last while. And I can see the benefit when there were certain big decisions that needed to make, and the weight of it, because a decision I make in the church can affect many. I would set aside time to seek the Lord and inquire of Him. And I find it to be super beneficial. It's almost like, and I'll tell you this, the one thing that I've noticed while fasting, it's almost like life becomes quiet again. It's like all the noise, it's like it becomes quiet. And it's almost like there's a desire to hear the Lord. So things get, I become more aware of His whisper, His voice. And so that's what I've found, is really that the noise of the world becomes quiet while I fast. So here's examples. You see there that there were times where they fasted for 40 days, for 3 days, 21 days. David did a partial fast where he fasted certain foods. Certain people fasted an absolute fast, which means you abstain from food and water completely. Moses did that for 40 days, and Paul did it for 3 days. And Esther and the Jews did it for 3 days as well. No food, no water. Then there's times where they fast food and they drink water. So throughout, you'll see the examples there. And then there's the reason why they did it. And there was always something, the initial pursuit wasn't to get something from God. The initial pursuit was many times to humble themselves, to seek the Lord. But the nature of our God is He's a Father. And so as we seek Him, He responds. So although fasting is not a way to move God's hand, God just loves it when we consecrate ourselves. God just loves it. God is moved when we say, nothing else will do. You are the bread of life. Only you would fill my hunger and my thirst. You can fast individually, but we see in Scripture also there's corporate fasts. And this is probably sometimes a difficult one for people to wrestle, because I can fast on my own, but why do I need to fast when you tell me to fast? I didn't hear God just tell me I need to fast from the 4th to the 6th, but we see the church is doing, why should I join that? There are times when God calls His people to fast. And as a leadership, we felt that this was a moment where God spoke and said, put out a time and fast as a people. Why? Because God has been speaking about humbling ourselves. Because God has been speaking about getting to know and to grow in our knowledge of Him. God has been speaking that He wants to set people free. There's marriages that's taking strain that God wants to restore. There's individuals that's struggling with addictions and sins, and God wants to heal. And so God has been speaking to us to set time aside, to seek Him, to humble ourselves, and to see God overcome the enemy in our lives. And so we sense that. And so as a body, God is calling us to do that. And it's not something contrary to Scripture. It's something that we see in Scripture where God calls a group of people. And we believe God has called us to do that. What it also does is we can speak about unity, but unity is something that the Spirit of God does. But if we as a church say, we're going to do this together, it's something that unifies us immediately. And then the Spirit of God can knit our hearts together as we seek Him together. So it does unify the church if we do something like this together. And what does Psalm say? Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. And we want to see that blessing, life forevermore. So you see the nation of Israel under Jehoshaphat, they had to fight the enemy. They said, we're going to inquire of the Lord. We're going to seek the Lord's face. They came together, fasted as a nation. God said, this is the way that you're going to go into battle. You're just going to worship. And while they worship, God destroyed the enemy. Imagine how that must have been for a physical nation facing a physical war, a physical enemy, and God says, you're not allowed to use your weapons. All you do is worship me. Imagine that. I mean, it's nice, a story, and it's like, whoo, it might make a cool movie. But just imagine how you must have felt. Like this, you sought the Lord, and all you do is like you follow the Lord saying, and you must realize this, that's the whole nation. Not every one of them heard personally from the Lord, this is what we need to do. God spoke to a leader who said, this is what we need to do. There's an enemy with weapons coming towards us. All we're going to do is put our hands in the air and worship God. Yeah. Good one. And then before them, the enemy gets destroyed. Imagine how powerful moment that must have been for that people. It's like, what? In Joel, the whole nation is called to repentance. They start repenting. Things are in ruins. And as they repent, God says, if you do this, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, young and old. And as they did it, God poured out His Spirit in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, where we see the Spirit poured out on a group of people, an assembly of people, was after a 10-day fast. God came and He poured out His Spirit on His people. I'm trusting there's something when the people of God, when a group of people fast together, that God brings renewal and revival. And I'm trusting for that as we fast together. And then we saw earlier on in the church in Acts, Antioch, that they fasted together. The way I see this many times where we have an individual walk with God, but it's also within a body. And there's times that we individually fast, but there's also key times that we as a people fast. It's almost like a rugby team. I love sport, so they'll always, majority of the time, they'll be a sport example. But an individual player in your position, you've got a role to do, and there's certain things that you can do that benefit your stats, your career, your life. But that's within the job, and that's within the focus of the whole team. So I can do my own thing, but I've got to realize the team needs to win. Because no matter what I do, if the team doesn't win, it affects me. The team has a job, so I need to do my part for the sake of the team. And it's the same with our walk. There's something of our individual walk with God that's within a team, within a body of people. And my walk can't be separate from what God is doing within the assembly. Like my play as individual player, it's not apart from what the team needs to do. It fits in with the team's focus. And so does our walk with God fits into what God is doing here, especially if God has added you to this body. And if God is calling us to fast together, there's something that God wants to do in you, but also in us. So as much as this is a corporate fast, it's also a call for you individually to give yourself to play your part within the team. Does that make sense? So when the church fasts together, it unites the church. It stirs to renewal, revival. We see breakthrough. We see God glorified, and we see heaven respond as we do that. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So within us, the doctors here, correct me if I'm wrong, within us there's a little hormone called ghrelin. Ghrelin. Ghrelin is called the hunger hormone. Is that correct, Skulk? Oh, your wife's nodding, so you're not sure, but your wife's... There's a hunger hormone inside of us. That's called ghrelin. And that's the thing that causes the growl in our stomachs, you know? Like you sit here and you hear like, I need a cookie, you know? So that hormone hormone would only get satisfied if it gets its cheeseburger or its cookie. It's like, I want a cookie. So that hormone is within us, and that hormone causes you to look for food. It's the thing that triggers response and say, you need to eat something. You are hungry. And so the interesting thing about that hunger hormone is you can actually settle that hormone in a fast. Because right, we remember 200 times a day, so that's a very busy hormone in your body. So that causes the hunger inside of you. That causes your mind, your body to, I need to eat something. But during a fast, you can actually, according to the medical experts on Google and AI, you can actually coach that hormone not to react so many times. That's why when people do an 8-day fast, they say after day 4 it was smooth. It's like, I didn't even think about food. Because that hormone has been settled to not be a constant, to be activated constantly, to remind you constantly. You know, in our spiritual walk, there's also a deep hunger inside of us for God. But if we abstain from Him, it's almost like the spiritual hormone, we also start to quiet down, like the ghrelin. And then we carry on and we realize 5 days goes on, 6 days goes on, you meet with your common leader and he asks, how's your walk with God? It's like, oh, there's nothing going on in my walk with God. Because we're not feasting on Him. Have you heard someone share testimony? The more time I spend with God, the more I want to be with Him. It's because you're spiritual Greeland. It's like, I want Him. It's been awakened. And that's what a fast does. It says, Greeland, I'm not going to give attention to you. I'm going to put aside food. I'm going to put something that consumes me. And I'm going to set out time to seek Him and actually feed my spirit. Because I want to activate the appetite for God and His presence in my life. A pastor once said that he trusts that his church's spiritual life will become as active as their snack life. May that not be said of us. So there's this internal reminder in our body that says, I need food. We need to awaken the appetite again in our hearts to seek after God and to feast from Him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Word of God. So I think it's clear that there's something of fasting that we put aside, because the benefit is, we many times say, I don't have time to spend time with God. But in a fast, the time that you actually would have sat down to eat, you can put that aside to seek Him, to pray, to wait on Him. And so now you can actually set that time aside to seek Him, to feed our spirits. So the benefit of fasting is that we actually feed our spirits. For this corporate fast, I looked at some of the benefits in Scripture, and there, depending on which resource you look at, there are plenty. Some have 12 points, some have 4, some have 17, and there's various things through Scripture that you can see what's one of the benefits of fasting. But all of them, for me, comes down to these four things. And there's the Scriptures for that, but also the reason why we are fasting as a church for the next 3 days, coming from the 4th to the 6th of August. We want to do it to see God. We read there in those Scriptures there, Jeremiah, Joel, Luke. When we fast, we actually create space to seek Him, to worship Him. We want to do it so that we can grow in our knowledge of Him. And the interesting thing is, what you'll notice, if you look at the reasons why we're fasting, it's all things that we've preached on and spoke on, or prophetic words that came through in the life of the church over the last 6 months. And so what we want to do is create time to seek Him, to grow in our knowledge of Him, to worship Him. The thing about fasting is, when you, that greeting pops up while you fast, like, I want my cookie. That thing pops up. Now you're confronted with the reality is, I can't eat something now. What can I do? And then you realize, all I can do now is worship Him. Is worship Him. Is seek Him. So in one sense, by doing a fast, you're forcing yourself to seek after God. Because there's nothing else that can feed your soul. Nothing else that can benefit you at that moment. Then we do it to repent and to see our spirits built up. We're going to do it to see more of the supernatural amongst us. We want to humble ourselves. God has spoken to us about humbling ourselves. And to make space for Him. Lizalde had a prophetic word early on in the year that we need to make space for God in our lives. She said how many times we feed. And then when somebody comes with you go to a party and you're just scared they're going to eat late, or you're scared that they're not going to have enough food. And so you eat at home, and by all the year at a braai, and there's snacks and chips, and it's like, chippies and snacks. And by the time when the steak comes, you're actually stuffed, you're full. And now you don't have space for the goodness in front of you. And shared a prophetic word that much of our lives, with media and things that we do, fills our life, consumes our life, and then we don't have space for God. And this fast would be creating space in our lives for God again. My hope would be that we do a 3-day fast and we see our lives radically change from that point onwards, where we once again create an appetite, where we humble ourselves. The Bible says if we humble ourselves, God gives grace to the humble. There's something beautiful that it is. Humility attracts the heart of God. And so we want to see that. Make space for Him so that He will build up our spirits. You see that in those scriptures. They reference things like that. It's a way to wage war. We're going to fast for spiritual breakthrough, to see strongholds break over people's lives, to see marriages that struggling come through, where teenagers are faced with rejection and bullying and challenges at school, and that is affecting the way that you live. We're going to trust that God would break that, that you would walk in the freedom that God has for you. We're going to trust for breakthrough. And then we see God always responds when His people fast. And we're going to trust that as we fast, God's going to activate us, His ambassadors here on earth, to go and make a difference. Like in the book of Acts where the church fasted, the Holy Spirit said, set those people apart. I'm going to pray. My prayer is that as we fast over the next few days, God would come and set us apart for His purposes here on the earth. God wants us to reach this community. Why? Because we want a big church. No, not at all. The Bible says, the Father desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of Him. That's why we want to go. That's why we want to be ambassadors. Because God desires all men to be saved. And how does He get the message to them? Through us. We are His ambassadors. We are the ones carrying that message. And I'm trusting that God will thrust forth the laborers, that we would see people getting saved in our meetings, that we would see a new church plant in Brackenfell and Kales River. That's quiet. Why is it so quiet? Why? Because there's people that need to be reached here that won't fit into this hall as God sends people. I don't want a full hall. I want to see people getting saved and transformed and getting to know God and then themselves reaching out to others. Why? Because He's good. And the gospel is good news. And it needs to spread. There's a church plant in Boston and Belleville. If we can get a venue, there'll probably be a church plant there. Not just from our congregation, but through a few of the congregations. Why? Because we want to see people getting saved. Because we're here for a purpose. We're here as ambassadors. And so I'm trusting that God would activate us in those areas. So why are we fasting? We want to seek Him. We want to see more of the supernatural. We want to see spiritual breakthrough. And we want to see ascending and salvations, people coming to a knowledge of Christ. We're going to fast from the 4th to the 6th. On Monday night, we're going to come together. You can come if you want to. It's not a must. But we're going to open up this venue during lunchtime and this venue in the evening. And we're going to worship God and pray together. Because I want to tell you that if you're going to pray at home the whole time, there will be temptations and challenges. That cookie that the Greenland wants. It's very difficult when you pray alone at home and there's no one there. But here's the people of God. It's something special about if we do a corporate fast, praying together, because someone else's prayer stirs faith in your heart. When you see someone else struggling with the same things that you're struggling, it settles your heart. It's okay, we're all in this. We're all hungry. But we're all doing this. And then Tuesday, same thing. Lunchtime, the venue will be open. The evening will be open. And on Wednesday night, we're going to break it. And I want to encourage you to make, though, if you need to make one of them a priority, make the Wednesday night a priority. We're going to celebrate the goodness of God. And we're going to worship Him and speak about what God has for the term ahead. Next week, Sunday, we're going to speak about, we're going to, for a short period in the Sunday meeting, we're going to do a little bit of an interview with doctors and various peoples in various sectors of society. Teenagers, we're going to hear testimonies. We're going to ask doctors, what do I do if I've got medication that I need to take? What do I do? Because here's the thing, our fleshly nature, when we say the word fast, goes, Sorry for those listening on the recording. Our flesh hates the idea of we're not gonna get food. How are we gonna do this? I remember for me, it's like sometimes the fast feels so counterproductive because all you do is think about food the whole day. It's like I know some of you already sat here, it's like, yo, I'm not sure if I can do this. I know that. Hey, let's be honest. It's like Daniel fast, that sounds good. Partial fast. Absolute, no, definitely not. And so we're challenged by this idea of like, I'm not sure how. I want to encourage you. God's grace is sufficient in our times of weaknesses. Don't try and figure out what is the lowest point of entry when it comes to the fast. Say, Lord, what should I do? Okay, I've got medicine to take. We're going to have a doctor share with us what we can do in situations like that. The key thing for you is to determine beforehand, what are you going to fast? Because if you make that decision, speak to people, speak to your community if you need wisdom. Teenagers, you can also fast. Doesn't just have to be broccoli. You know? I know some of us have busy lives, active lives, and we've got to be focused. If I don't eat, I can't focus. My work is stressful. I've got sport at school. I've got break time play. I've got a lot of things to do. I'm busy. There are ways to get around that. You can drink juice, or you can eat vegetables and fast from meats and sweets. And there are things that we can do. But they said, look for the excuse to do the easiest possible thing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There's a promise here that fasting is not just about staying away from food, but there's actually a feast, and that feast is God Himself. And there's a promise that while we are abstaining from food, while we are going through some physical challenges, while we are abstaining from food, there's a promise here that I can feast on Him. It's not so much about what we miss and what we're not getting. It's actually all about what are we going to get and who are we going to find while we do it. Okay, practical things. Before the fast, ease off caffeine. Okay? So start making it less, because if you're going to 3 days not have caffeine, it will affect you. You will have, the doctors have told me, you will have headaches. You will have headaches, all right? You will have headaches. Someone once said, you know, if you're going to fast coffee, that's quite brave, because I don't speak to anyone before I have a cup of coffee. So for those that live that way, start practicing now, because you would need to speak to people during the fast. Reduce your meal size. Stay hydrated. So start preparing your body for the lack that it's going to get over those 3 days. Avoid that binge eating beforehand. You know, it's like, let me eat tonight for the 3 days ahead. Avoid that. We do that. I do that. And it does not help. If you've got kids, prepare the meals beforehand. Maybe cook extra now this week so that you can just warm up a meal for your kid. If they may be very small, they're very little. You know, or if your teenagers are going to fast partially, start preparing so that you don't have to worry about it, and it's a quick, easy warm-up on during the fast. Have a family meeting to discuss how we will approach it. Family, how will we do this? Because mommy and daddy also wants to pray while we fast. So we want to, are we going to pray together as a family? So have a bit of a game plan as a family. Pull in your children. It can be a great memory for you as a family. All our memories don't have to be Table Mountain and the beach and the forest and a Vultain. Some of our memories can be around God. Why not? Spiritual focus. Decide what you're going to pray, what you want to pray on. And oh, there's an and. That's nothing there. Decide on your prayer times. When are you going to pray over those days? Have a bit of a plan. Look at some scriptures that you can meditate on that can actually help you through this time. And use the support groups, use the WhatsApp groups, use the prayer meetings, because those are times that we can find support. Those are times that we can find support. You know what? In the 1900s, early 1900s, the Welsh revival broke out because a group of people fasted for a few months to trust God for that. And God poured out His Spirit in Wales. The Azusa Street Revival, same period, happened. Because there was a church, a group of people that fasted for weeks. In the same time, a revival broke out in Korea. And that is why they are one of the Asian countries with the most Christians, still today. Because they, a group of church leaders, fasted and prayed together, and God poured out His Spirit on the people there. Let's trust God to pour out His Spirit in a significant way on us, that we would see people meet Him. So one of the things that's going to happen is it's going to be challenging, this fast. And there's something of God's heart that He doesn't just want to come through for us after the fast, but He wants to meet us in the fast as well. Some of us know it's going to be challenging for us, but you know what? Some of you are facing challenges right now. Apart from not having food and the challenges of that, some of you are facing difficulties within your family. Some of your marriages are taking strain. Some of you are going through trials right now. There are financial pressures, pressures at work. Some of you, I know, in this congregation over the last 4 years have lost loved ones. And there's the pain of that and the mourning of that, good days, bad days. But we are faced with various things right now. And here's a promise for us, for our fast and what we are facing now in our lives, is that God will never leave us. He's a good shepherd. And even in the midst of what we're going through, God has prepared a table for us. Isn't it a beautiful picture? When I fast and I'm abstaining from food, in that very place of difficulty, of not having food, there's a promise that God, in that moment, prepares a feast for me. And He's that feast. So God doesn't just want to meet me at the back end of the fast. He wants to meet me during the fast. And He wants to feed me. He wants to nourish me. He wants to satisfy me. He wants to sustain me in that fast. So when you're feeling tempted, when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling like there's a battle going on around you, when you feel hungry, when you're faced with your trials now, know that He is our shepherd. He's the one that sustains us. And in what you're going through, He has prepared a feast for you. And that feast is Him. Fasting empties the body, but it fills the soul because God brings the feast. Isn't that wonderful? God brings the feast. Fasting isn't about impressing God with our discipline. It's about leaning on His strength when ours run out. Fasting is about finding Him. It's not just about applying the discipline in our lives. Psalm 121 says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." There's a promise that even in the midst of the fast, God is my help. So when I want to look to this hill during the fast, where Greenland says, "I'm here." I look up to the mountains. I look up to the hills. I look up because God is my help. When it's struggling, when I struggle through the fast, and even right now in what you're going through, I want to encourage you this morning. I know we spoke about the fast and we had to prepare the congregation for that. But what I felt that Lord wanted to speak to every one of us is this message. Look up. I am your help. I'm the one that sustains you. When you need to do something challenging like a fast, for some of us it might be easy. For the majority of us it's going to be difficult. I will sustain you. In what you are going through right now, the pain, the trial, the anguish, the stress, the worry, I am your help. Look up. Look up. Look up. He's the God who sustains us. So right now and during the fast, I can look up. I can lift my eyes. And stop focusing on the cravings and the very difficult things I'm going through now, because God is our provider. During this fast, we can sit at His table. Right now, you can sit at His table. Make space for Him to feed you. Make space for Him to nourish you. And lean on His strength. During the fast and right now, we can lean on His strength. There was once a mountain climber that went for a very difficult ascent, and he went at it alone, solo ascent, and he went, had a rope around him, and as he was climbing, he slipped and he fell, and he was hanging there in the air, connected to the rope, trying to get back on the mountain, but he couldn't. And in that moment he thought, "This is it. I'm going to die hanging here in the dark," because there was no way for him reaching people. Somehow a rescue team came and found him, and rescued him in that moment. And they told him, "Sir, you were kept here, not by anything that you have done, not because you could hold on to anything, but because a rope held
you. The rope held you. And that's the reason why you could survive. This fast is not about how much we can do and how much we can cling on. Our lives right now, it's not about how much I can cling on. There's a confidence, there's assurance, there's a peace for us that God is the one who holds us. He's the one that holds us. And I once again want to remind us of that with what you're going through now, but also in this fast, there's something that we want to trust God that we would see Him again. May we see Him as the one that sustains us. May we see Him as the one that holds us. That's our help. And never forget it as we live our lives, that He's the one that keeps us. He's the one that sustains us. My prayer is that that won't just become something that we know here or a song that we sing, but may that become a reality for us, because our God is alive. More than this chairs are real, more than this building, more than the people around me, God is alive and He's very real, and He's able to meet you right now, right where you are at. He's our ever-present help in our time of need. And friends, whatever you're going through, He is one that will help you right here, right now. You might be visiting us this morning. Maybe you grew up in a church and you're with us this morning. And as we spoke about fasting, we spoke about giving up food. You know what? Jesus didn't give up food. He actually gave up His whole life. He died on a cross. And why did He die on a cross? He died on a cross because God wants all of humanity to know Him, to be with Him. And that's why Jesus gave up His whole life, is so that we can be with Him. There was once a man that walked in a desert. And while walking on the desert, he was thirsty, he was empty, he was tired, and he just longed for a bit of water. And he saw a bit of water on the horizon, and he ran to it because he needed something to refresh him. And he dived out, and as he dived into the river to drink from it, all he dived on was dry sand. It was a mirage. You know, many of our lives, Scripture said, God will come and fill our hunger and our thirst. All of us are walking on this earth with a deep longing inside of us to be satisfied. And sometimes we think a relationship, or sometimes we think sport, or sometimes we think a substance is the thing that's going to satisfy us. But it's just like that man who dived to find satisfaction. All that he found was there was nothing that could satisfy. And many of us are living our lives like that, and you might be here living your life like that, that you thought, I dived into something that's going to sustain me, but all I'm feeling is still a deep sense of emptiness and longing. It's because only one person can fill that longing. He is the fountain of life, and that is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And maybe you're sitting here and you're feeling dry, empty. We spoke about the fast is a time that we can stay away from food, but we can actually feast on Him and find fulfillment in Him. But more than that fast, there's something way more important than that, and that is your eternal destiny. Where you will be when you die. There's something way more important, that inside of you there's a longing, and only one person can fill that longing. That longing is Jesus Christ. And the way that we can find true life, the way that we can find true quench for our thirst, the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He is your Savior and your Lord. Repent. Confess your sin. Repentance means to say, I acknowledge that the way that I've lived my life up to this point was full of sin. I need Jesus. It's a repentance, it's acknowledgement that I looked for something to fill my thirst, but nothing has done it. I now turn to you, Jesus. Will you come and fill my thirst? And that's what the Bible says. That's repentance. And when you cry out to Him, I've experienced it in my own life. Many people here have experienced it in their lives. When you cry out to God, He comes and He fills your life and He makes you a new creation.